Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and you two and Tom travel well to Chicago. Nice little short flight, and that's road trips all full of nice little short flights. Toronto, Detroit, Detroit, Chicago, Chicago, Kansas City. And hopefully the Blue Jays can keep this going. They beat the Tigers 10-5, only the second time in the last six games that their starting pitcher did not give up a run in the first inning. And Estrada didn't give up a run until the fifth when he'd already gotten a 7-0 lead. It's Jays Talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The last couple of days, everybody in the division, everybody at the top of the division except the Yankees have been losing. Today it's going to be everyone at the top of the division except the Yankees who have been winning. The Yankees lost to the Tampa Bay Rays 8-1. The Baltimore Orioles are leading the Chicago White Sox 8-1. That is in the top of the seventh inning. And if that score holds, it means a close of business today. It'll be the Yankees by one over Baltimore, two over the Blue Jays and Tampa Bay Rays, as this division remains super tight. Pretty amazing that the Jays could go 2-5 in a week and lose only one game in the standings. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays beat the Detroit Tigers 10-5. They scored six runs in the top of the fifth inning. The ninth time this season, nine times where they've had at least six runs in an inning. Now, this team, a force to be reckoned with, and when they get decent pitching, good things happen. To the phones we go. Rob in Mississauga going to lead things off. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Just a quick comment. I was trying to call in yesterday, and I got a comment. You've got the patience of a saint. Everybody's doom and gloom with the whole the fact that Jays lose a couple games, and they're never going to stay in first place, and they're two games out, and they're crying. When I looked at the standings the other day, I couldn't believe how the American League, all three divisions, the National League, there's such parity in the whole league. I want your comments on that. I mean, is that actually the case, or is it just too early in the season?
Well, we're halfway through the season, and I mean, the case is the case, right? You've got teams that are awfully close. I don't know if there's a ton of parity right now. You look at the standings, and the Dodgers are up by four in the West. The Cardinals are up by six in the Central. The Nationals are up by 3.5 in the East.
Nobody's up by 8 or 9. We see that some years, don't we? I mean,
I guess some years, yeah, but you're halfway through the season. I mean, those teams have healthy leads. But yeah, I don't know that there is a true great team. Nobody's really running away with it except for St. Louis, and they've got a very good team in their division in Pittsburgh that's chasing them. But, yeah. You know, how many teams are 10 games over 500? Two? Three?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, hang in there, and, another 11-game winning streak will get you nicer calls, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see about that. People will still be waiting for it to fall apart. Thanks for the call, Rob. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays won today. That means phone lines are open because people can't call and be angry. So, if you're one of those people who always tells me, I can never get through, after a win, you can get through. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. A 10-5 win for the Blue Jays in Detroit today. Dave is in Vancouver. Dave, the floor is yours.
Mike, how could one be angry? Well, the weather, as usual. And a 10-5 victory, glad to accept that. And as the previous caller pointed out, you want to call parity, you can. And in reality, who's leading the whole American League? Houston by 13 wins above 500. So, as you pointed out, I mean, tonight or this afternoon, we get one victory out of three, but Travis comes home, has a great game, etc. And, we get a split, hopefully, in Chicago because we are going up against one of the best left-handers in the game, etc. I said, 7 or 12 or 8 or 11, we come back, we're going to be relatively close to first place. And, you know, it appears to me a division that nobody seems to want to run away with. I mean, the Yankees have been on a bit of a run. They've done it before. I still think they're a very old squad. You know, injuries could come along. Guys, you know, maybe struggling in the second half. But I want to ask you a question. You know, maybe it's just my fond memory of baseball, but it's, you know, going back to the 50s. But it seemed to me that you'd have clubs occasionally making a heck of a deal. And, you know, I think of the Jays, you know, the famous McGriff-Fernandez for Carter and Elmar trade. And I think the year St. Louis was going nowhere, and they said, well, we'll take this, Chicago, we'll take this guy. What's his name again? Lou Brock. Yeah, we'll borrow him from you. And, I guess with the salary complex situation, et cetera, but are you kind of surprised sometimes that you don't see that type of deal done in here? Even the trading deadline, it seems to be usually, you know, maybe a guy that's kind of washed up or minor deals, et cetera, or am I just maybe thinking back to the fond good old days?
I think you're misremembering is what what I think you're doing, et cetera. The Lou Brock deal did happen in mid-season, it's true, but, I mean, at the time, right, it wasn't an earth-shattering deal. He was in his second full season in
Carried
the major league.
That's what I'm getting at.
But the McGriff deal happened in the offseason, kind of like the Josh Donaldson deal happened in this offseason. You know, the Matt Kemp deal, the Justin Upton trade. There are a lot of trades made, and this year there were this winter there were a ton of trades. But those sorts of trades are far more often ones that happen in the winter than that happen mid-season.
Do you think there's a reason for that, though? You know,
well, yeah, because in the
I'm
winter,
kind of wondering about.
You know, in the winter, there's still you still have a lot of time to kind of fill your roster and take a piece here and a piece there. In the middle of the season, you're not going to open one hole to close another one because then you know you don't have the rest of the offseason to fill that hole.
Well, as I said from day one, Mike, this is an entertaining ball club, and you know, we are being entertained, and we're really looking forward to him coming out to Seattle, and we'll invade the United States of America. You know, there's about 50,000 Americans invading Vancouver today for the World Cup final game. We're coming down to Safeco Field, and the Jays will realize once again they got a home series in Seattle.
All right, good to know. I look forward to that series. Wish I could be there. I'm not betting on that happening, but it's going to be an awesome time just out of the All-Star break. Second weekend after the All-Star break where the Blue Jays are in Seattle. Thanks for the call, Dave. The Detroit Tigers have sent Drew Verhagen down to Toledo. He pitched an inning today. He pitched a clean sixth and then walked the first three guys at seventh before leaving. It's nice to see somebody else making bullpen moves. Jeff is in Bayfield. Jeff, welcome to Jay's Talk.
Yeah, thanks. I had a question, what your opinion was on Justin Smoke. I mean, he's been maybe not a surprise, but his bat's been great since the two home runs from each side of the plate. And it seems like, you know, he's in and out. I don't know if that's just left-handed versus right-handed pitching, but I think they should keep his bat in there. What do you think about that?
I think Justin Smoke's doing a very nice job. And, you know, we've seen the power, obviously. It's funny to hear how so many people are screaming that he needs to play, needs to play, needs to play because, you know, early in the off season when the Blue Jays signed him, I was very excited and I thought, oh, here's
that's
a guy
great.
With some
Thanks.
Power. And everyone told me I was nuts. Smoke has kind of, I mean, hasn't played a lot. Obviously he went through the last 2 weeks of June and he's only started three times. But he was 1-for-16 over that span. He started three games in a row, and he was 0-for-4, 1-for-4, 0-for-5. He's had a couple of three very nice games back to back to back. But John Gibbons is trying to balance him versus Deonor Navarro, who he loves. I would like to see Smoke just in there against every righty, and you can platoon him with Navarro if you want, and have Navarro DH against lefties and Edmund play first. I know that John Gibbons really, really, really likes Navarro a lot more as a hitter, I think, than most people do, which is why he's going to try to get him into the lineup as often as he can. And often that's at the expense of Justin Smoke. But Smoke deserves a run, so here's hoping he gets it. Glenn's in Oshawa. Glenn, you're on Jay's Talk. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Listen, I love the show, and don't really have a question, more of a comment, and get your opinion on it. The last couple of years, I've heard and I've read sometimes and heard every now and then about possibly trading Jose Bautista. And, you know, I realize he's a player that would obviously bring you something back, but why on earth anybody would want to trade that guy, I have no idea. I mean, a great offensive player, a great defensive player, plays with passion, you know, he obviously cares and wants to win, and, you know, he stopped that whining at the plate stuff that he had a couple of years ago, and it just, every time I hear it, I just shake my head, like, why would you want to trade a guy like that?
Well, I think it's because we're in Toronto, and the deal with, I mean, it's been a long time since Toronto has had something to cheer about from a sports team. And so the attitude for a lot of fans in this city, or a lot of fans of this city's teams, has become, that guy's really good, I wonder what we could get for him. That guy's really good, we should trade him. And it's going to take a few winning teams for those attitudes to change. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 10-5, 6 runs in the fifth inning off of Justin Verlander. Home runs from Jose Bautista and Justin Smoke. Marco Estrada gets the win on his birthday and improves to 6-4. He gave up 2 runs on 5 hits over 5 innings, but didn't give up a run until the Jays already had a 7-run lead. Roberto Osuna gets a final 4 outs to get his third save. Back to the phones. Out east we go to Halifax. Brian, you're on Jays Talk. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
All right, thanks. Go ahead.
Great game. I just got one quick question for you. The pitchers are suffering as bad as they have been in the last 5 games. Why would you not put your best defensive team on the field? For an example, Smoke instead of Colabello on the first base.
There's really not that much difference between Smoke and Colabello at first base.
Well, defensive-wise, there certainly is.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't. Justin Smoke is a very good first baseman. He's got fantastic hands. He doesn't really have any range, but if he can get to the ball, he'll get it wonderfully. Chris Colabello is fine at first. He made an error yesterday, but he's been very good at first base. The fact that he is deficient in left field doesn't have anything to do with his ability to play first base.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying with the pitchers suffering as bad as they have been,
yeah,
the last 5 games, and this is a great game today.
No, I heard what you said, and I'm.
But,
I've explained.
Why would you not put your best defensive?
I heard it the first time you said it, Brian. Brian, I heard it the first time you said it, and I answered it. Chris Colabello is not much worse a defensive first baseman than Justin Smoke is.
Okay, Mike. Appreciate your assessment on it, but. Respectfully, I don't agree.
Okay. So you just got to watch him a little more often then. That's all. It's very easy to make a determination on a guy because you've seen him play left field poorly, and then you saw him make an error at first base yesterday and say, all right, this guy's a terrible first baseman too. He just can't play defense. But it's not the case. It's just not. Chris Colabello is, there's nothing wrong with his defense at first base. And Justin Smoke is a very good defensive first baseman, but I caution people, you know, he's not a gold glover. He is a guy who has great hands, and he's massive, which helps, you know, make him an enormous target and all that stuff. He does not, he's not a rangy first baseman or anything. He's not going to go get ground balls for you. It kind of feels like that's what I'm hearing when I hear Justin Smoke, great defensive first baseman. That's not the issue. The issue has been left field. More than anything else, as far as defense on this team is concerned, whether it's Colabello or Ezekiel Carrera or Danny Valencia, the Blue Jays don't have an average defensive left fielder. Except maybe Ryan Goins. Ben is in London. Hey, Ben.
Bent. How are you doing, Mike?
Thanks. Pardon me.
My call.
Thank you.
I was trying to get on yesterday after R.A. Dickey pitched, and I just want to know what you think. As everybody else, being really frustrated with his outings. But I think he really needed Josh Tolley back. Those 3 wins he had, aren't most of them with Josh Tolley?
I don't really pay attention to who's catching when a pitcher gets wins. I mean, R.A. Dickey pitched really, really well in June without Josh Tolley for the most part in the month. And you know, he didn't get a lot of wins, but he had a great month.
Well, I see there seems to be a lot of pass ball with Russell Martin that the other team gets runs after.
R.A. Dickey's given up.
Wouldn't have had it.
Dickey's given up 2 unearned runs all year, and runs as a result of pass balls are unearned. So I don't know. There have been a lot of pass balls. I don't know that there have been a lot of pass balls that have runs scored directly afterwards. Look, Josh Tolley's better at catching R.A. Dickey than Russ Martin is.
I think Dickey, if he'd got him in by himself and he was really honest, he would rather have Josh Tolley catch
him. I think he would, too. But I think in the overall, the team is better with Deonner Navarro as a backup catcher than it is with Josh Tolley as a backup catcher.
Yeah, and I guess they really can't keep 3 catchers.
It makes it really difficult. It does, because then, you know, Goins has to go or Carrera has to go and you're hamstrung somewhere else. They win a few games without having a real backup shortstop, and it wound up costing them, too.
Yeah, it's just too bad Tolley can't be around, I guess.
Yep. But again, I don't think there's a significant difference. R.A. Dickey in the month of June had an ERA of 3.32 in 6 starts. He only had 1 win. Not his fault.
No, it's not all his fault. If he had more run support, would have helped too.
Right, and see if you get Josh Tolley in there, how much run support are you going to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. It just goes to show, right? Bent, you can't have everything, because where would you put it? Jays Talk continues. Blue Jays beat the Tigers 10-5. Jeremy is in Mississauga. You're up next.
Hi, Milk. Mike, I just wanted to say Devon Travis has been pretty awesome for the Jays. And I'm pretty happy that Alex actually went out and got him. What do you think?
I think, yeah. I don't see why anybody would not be happy that Alex Anthopoulos went out and got Devon Travis. He's been tremendous when he's been healthy. And 3 RBIs today. Single and a double and a sacrifice fly. He's hitting, I think, almost 500 over an 8-game win streak, hit streak since he's been back. That's an outstanding, outstanding deal to fill a hole where you had lots of depth in center field. Got time for another call or two on Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Stu is in Toronto. Welcome to the program, Stu.
Thanks, Mike. Honored to talk to you, man. You're great at your job.
Thank you. Swell of you to say.
Two quick things. One, Daniel Norris, what's the update on him?
The update on him is that he made a start last week or earlier this week with Alex Anthopoulos watching and wasn't terrific. He had 2 good starts in a row, and the Blue Jays were thinking that if he has a third one, they're going to call him up and let him at least make a spot start, give everybody a breather while they're in this run of 17 games in a row. But and Alex even said before he went to watch him, the thing you got to look at with Daniel Norris is his strikeouts. And over the last 3 starts, he'd had 22 strikeouts in 15 and a third innings. And then Alex went down to watch him, and he got 1 strikeout in 7 innings. So I don't know if they're going to bring him up this week. They might, but he didn't do himself any favors with that last start.
And the other question is, Boyd, is he gone? I missed something. Did he leave?
He got sent down, yeah, after he had the worst outing in club history for a starter. And he'll go down, and he'll pitch, and he'll try to get back. I mean, it's certainly not a death sentence for him, that terrible outing. Lots of guys have come back from ugly, ugly starts in the major leagues and been all right. But Matt Boyd is definitely going to be down in the minor leagues for a little while. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for all the calls. And again, apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We will do this again tomorrow. And tomorrow we will have a Blue Jay pregame show starting at 7 o'clock Eastern before we bring the network in at the bottom of the hour. I've got 3 pieces of tape that I'm going to use over the course of the week. Haven't decided which one I'm going to use when. I did a terrific interview with Bo Schultz talking about his journey to the major leagues, and it's really something. A great talk with Tim Leeper about Baseball Canada and the Pan Am Games. and a nice chat with Jose Reyes as well about the record label that he owns, Siete Records. So those will be sprinkled in throughout the week. Maybe I'll open it up to Twitter to see which one you want first tomorrow night. But the pre-game show will be at 7 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Time, only on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590. We'll come back and wrap this thing up. Blue Jays 10, Tigers 5. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back at Baseball Control in Toronto, the Blue Jays knock out the Detroit Tigers 10-5. Now they got to deal with the Chicago White Sox for 4 starting tomorrow night, and it will be Chris Sale against Mark Burley in the opener. I think that's Burley's first game back in Chicago since he left the White Sox. I don't think he pitched there last year. I'll have to check on that. I could be wrong. I have been before. Roberto Osuna got the save with the final 4 outs. The trainers came out to check on him after the second out of the ninth inning, and he says that he felt some soreness on the right side of his lower back but felt good enough to stay in and will be able to pitch tomorrow. So the Jays will definitely keep an eye on that. Last thing you need is Roberto Osuna out for any length of time. Tampa beat the Yankees 8-1. Orioles lead the White Sox 9-1 in the top of the eighth, so the likelihood is that the Blue Jays will go into tomorrow tied with Tampa, 2 games behind the first-place New York Yankees, with the Baltimore Orioles right in the middle. We're on the air 7:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for an 8:10 first pitch with a pre-game show at 7 o'clock. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry and Joe, Tom, Brian, and Boffo, bye-bye.